Father can change them, and all the wounds you sustained here today, Father can heal them. The darkness of a deep despair-filled ocean can overwhelm the strongest of souls, and the tide may
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio program. Today is the 29th of June, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, What Do We Do? Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and again, congratulations on the no vote for the EU. But you folks have a long way to go to break that cord. And you are in our prayers that you will be able to be persistent and tenacious, and that you will break the yoke that's upon you, much as your kinsmen in Iceland, the Benjaminites that are in Iceland, have done recently. It's come to my knowledge that our kinsmen in Iceland have offered financial assistance to their brethren in Britain. And so that is how the house of Israel, the true Israelites, that's how it's supposed to be. We are all family. I don't care if you're in Iceland, Ireland, Scotland, England proper, Germany, Austria, Australia, New Zealand, America, Canada. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you speak French, Spanish, Italian, English, German. Doesn't matter. We're all part of the family. The sooner we learn that, the sooner things get a whole lot better. What do we do in the face of everything going on? It's unbelievable. And it's got to be the number one thing on people's minds and on their hearts at this time. The song that was playing at the beginning of the program is Call Upon the Name. There's a lot of meaning in that, folks. I hope you are paying attention. Go back and listen to the archive of this program later on and listen to the words of that song. Call upon the name, the one and only name that Yahweh said to call upon in times of trouble to save you. As Isaiah 33 and 22 makes it very, very clear, He will be our Savior. He's our king, our judge, our lawgiver, but He will be our Savior. Yahshua was the name He used, which is close to Joshua, but Yahshua when He walked this earth, and that name also says Yahweh is salvation or Yahweh saves. No difference. Continuity there. The album that song came off of is Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Are you feeling it yet, people? Indeed, we are sinners, meaning transgressors of Yahweh's law. We are sinners in the hands of an angry God. If you haven't figured it out yet, you'd better start. I would highly recommend that Jonathan David Brown's CD, which I believe is still available. I bought mine many years ago. And I've been honored to have known Jonathan for quite some time. Good man, righteous man. And again, this has to be probably the number one thing on everybody's mind of late, is what do we do? There's so much information out there. There is so much going on. And so people are concerned. If you have a comment or question or constructive criticism, please use this email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com, and I will address it at a later time. If you have a comment or question tonight, I would recommend you use the blog window at eurofolkradio.com. My personal website is byyahwehsdesign.com. It has been taken down because the company I was using to build that site had done some things I wasn't happy about, and so I've let it go. I have to find a new website host to get it back up online. So By Yahweh's Design is down temporarily. If you wish to help us with a donation, you can email me and I will send you an address and tell you how you can help us. We'll do it the old-fashioned way. Again, we thank all of our many listeners and supporters. A couple quick quotes. And we're going to keep saying these because these are vitally important these days. Thomas Jefferson said, "When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty." I'm very, very encouraged by the number of alternative media radio talk show hosts that are repeating many of the things that we talk about here on Eurofolk Radio. We've been saying these things for many months. They're now catching up. So the word is getting out there. Thomas Paine said, "The strength and power of despotism," or you could even say tyranny, "consists wholly in the fear of resistance." When we were just colonies, there was fear of resistance. After all, at that time, Britain was one of the most powerful, or the most powerful, I should say, empires on earth. So it was no small thing when the colonies, in their frail condition, decided to rebel. It's no different today. Everybody says, who can war with the beast? What does Scripture say to you as to who can war with the beast? One with Yahweh. Correct? Or is the book wrong? If the book's wrong, we need to ascertain that and decide whether we just want to throw it out the window or are we going to believe it. You know, this country, part of the problem here in the United States is this country's full of people who claim to be Christ lovers and Bible followers. Nothing could be further from the truth. The church in North America is the Laodicean church. It is in form only a body of believers. In form only. If you were to dare bring up what Christ said right out of Scripture to these modern Judeo-Christians, they will show you their anger and their ire. They have no more interest in truth than the man in the moon. They have interest only in pretending to be believers. They want the form of godliness. They want to go through the motions of a believer. They want to belong to an organization with a pretty building that gets together once a week and sings hymns together and shakes hands and just so lovey-dovey. The very church that Christ himself condemned. The very people that Christ himself said, "I will spew you out of my mouth like vomit." In case you simpletons don't understand what he meant by that, it's showing the level of disgust that the master has for lukewarm believers. This nation is full of lukewarm believers. Or as one of my friends says, cafeteria Christians. Cafeteria Christians that pick and choose what scripture they'll listen to and throw all the rest away because it interferes with them playing church. The pastors are playing church. They get their yearly book of sermons in January, and that's what they have to read through and read from during the year because it's been approved by the headquarters to make sure there's nothing too controversial, make sure we don't offend anybody, because after all, we are the Laodicean church. We want to stay in that nice, soft middle area, you know. We don't want to be too hot or too cold. We want to play it safe. Well, you people have succeeded. You're about as lukewarm as you can get. You don't stand for anything. As we've said on this radio program many times, I seriously doubt that you, I don't dare say what I think of you. I don't think that you, so-called believers, you lukewarm, good for nothing, except to be trod under the feet of men Christians, I'm not so sure you would get off your sorry asses to do anything if the enemy came in, grabbed your wife and your daughters, took them outside and on the front yard in front of everybody, raped and then murdered them. I don't think that you pathetic morons would do anything even if they went that far. That's how safe in the middle of the road you are today. Comfortably safe, watching your sports, drinking your beer, socializing with your friends, gossiping about your neighbors, doing the very best you can do to violate every commandment of the Father, and then to put yourself off to the neighbors as if you're a pious, Bible-believing Christian who goes to church every Sunday, throws some shekels into the plate, does his duty, but you are so far from the Father, it's immeasurable. You are the one that he spoke of when he said, they will come and say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name. And the Messiah will look at them and go, depart from me, for I have never known you. Amen and hallelujah. We, the true believers, the ones that really do study the scriptures, the ones that do care about what the truth of the word is, the ones who have a relationship with the Father, do we not also share that contempt? We should. You know, there's some people out there that say, well, we should be tolerant of our brothers and sisters. Really? How come I don't feel much tolerance anymore? I think we've been tolerant long enough. How much more does this world have to sink into oblivion before we become intolerant? What do we do? We've got fear porn just pouring out and oozing out everywhere. Not only in the mainstream media, we expect the harlots and whores of the mainstream media to spew out that stuff. That's what they're being paid for. Rather handsomely, I might add. I expect them to tell lies. I expect them to cover up for the murderers and the perverts. That's their job. Just like the preachers today in so-called Christian churches, they're doing their job. They are the Baal priests of today. And for you people that don't ever bother to study anything, a Baal priest, his job was to support the status quo. His job was to support whoever was in charge at the time. His job was to tell the sheep to just stay home and don't bother with politics. You know, that's a dirty business. You just stay close to the Father in heaven. You know, the same Father in heaven that said, if you love me, obey my commandments. The same Father in heaven that said, it's this honor hath all my saints to carry a double-edged sword to execute the judgment that has been written upon even their kings and their nobles. You know, that same God, only they just sort of leave that last part out as if all you have to do is go to the pews on Sunday morning. The rest of the week, your daughter's dating a non-white. You've allowed the alien to come in. Now you've allowed the non-white racial aliens to come in by the millions. A violation of God's law. You've allowed the racial alien to become part of your government. Another violation of God's law. And yet you sit in your homes bemoaning, if you have enough sense, you should be bemoaning what's happened to America, and yet when somebody tries to tell you the truth, you spit at them. I got a note from Charles, who's been on this program, that lives up in the northwestern part of the country. He addressed a body of so-called respectable people in the community. And he basically reminded them that he had told them years ago where this country was headed, reminded them that they were in disobedience to God's law. They had no kind words for him whatsoever. Now, what does Scripture say about Yahweh's watchmen, his remnant, his elect, when they go forth? When he sent the disciples forth, what did he say? To go into the town, and if they will not hear the truth, knock the dust of that town off of your sandals and keep on walking. Yahweh said before the end of the age, he would separate the goats from the sheep. That's happening right now. That's good news for us, the ones that will be gathered up into his greenery, the wheat. But for you tares, you goats, it's not going to be very pretty here very soon. And your contempt for those of us that are trying to tell you the truth isn't going to weigh heavily in your favor when you stand before the King of Kings. What do we do? What do we do with all of this stuff going on? Well, I can't tell you what to do. It's not my job to tell you what to do. Each individual walks with Father Yahweh according to his will and as he directs you. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know what Father has in each and every one of you's life, what he's got planned for you. I can only share with you what I see with my eyes, what I hear with my ears, what my study has shown me, what I see going on. I share that with you because in the counsel of many, there is victory. Isn't that what the scripture says? I therefore offer counsel as I have a host of counselors helping me. I think it's cute sometimes when people say, Dan, you're a smart man. No, I'm not a smart man. I really am not a smart man at all. I just have some really, really great counselors. I have some real salt of the earth individuals who tell me exactly what they think, even when it means I'm wrong. But they have hearts of gold. They love Father Yahweh. They love our people. They love the truth. They hate the evil. That's the criteria. Are you a truth seeker? Do you hate the evil? Then you can be a counselor, because each and every one of us has unique information, unique experiences to share with one another. Together, we are invincible. The enemy knows that. Why do you think he spends so much time and money keeping us separated, keeping us fighting over this and that? So today I was thinking about, what do we do with all of this turmoil, all of this chaos? Most of it is made up, by the way, folks, in case you haven't figured it out. Most of it is fear porn. Most of it is staged events. Most of it is media driven to do exactly what Henry the Heinz, Kike, Kissinger, Kazar, communist said years ago. The American people and the world in general will never ask for world government unless we terrorize them with the fear of some unknown entity that could hurt us from beyond. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he tried to say. He knew. He's a Jew. In case you people haven't figured it out, all this turmoil, all this chaos, and everybody's talking about, well, you know, is it the nationalist movement? Should we do this? Should we do that? Oh, Lord, what should we do? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, is this political party or is this candidate? You're missing the whole point. It's really a simple problem. And Christ identified that problem in John chapter 8. Now, there's other scripture that points to them, like Obadiah 18, etc., in the Old Testament. But even in your precious New Testament, you Laodicean churchgoers, even in the New Testament, Luke 19 and 27, the words of Christ, bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. That's the words of Messiah. The Messiah you've turned into this pathetic hippie type individual that just loves everybody and would never pick up a sword, never pick up a weapon of any kind. Oh my God, he just loves everybody so much. Yeah, that's what you created. The real Christ said, bring those that won't allow me to rule over them. Bring them over here and slay them. He also told his disciples, if you don't have a sword, sell some of your garments if necessary, but you arm yourself. Peter, when he walked in the garden with Messiah, when he was betrayed, had a sword at his side, and he pulled it out to cut the man's head off. And if you think he was aiming at that man's ear, you truly are stupid. He meant to cut the guy's head off. So let the Laodicean church suffer. That's my point. What do? We withdraw. Withdraw our support, withdraw our prayers, withdraw from the heathen. They have chosen the way of the world as their way. They have denied the Christ. They have denied Yahweh the Father. They have denied his law. They seek after and worship a false God created by the Christian church, and that includes the Roman Catholics. There's a false God, a false religion, that has the trappings of Christianity, or what we perceive to be Christianity, even though the early believers never referred to themselves as Christians. They referred to themselves as believers or followers of the way, and sometimes as covenanters. Never as Christians. Christianos in the Greek language was a term of derision created by antichrists. And yet we all walk around as if that's a title of nobility, or as if it's a title that's to be fitting a person that truly loves the Father and the truth. And yet it's a word of derision that was used by the pagans and the antichrists. The actual believers, the ones who were willing to suffer and die in the name of the truth and of the Father, never referred to themselves as that. So these people, and this is a good time to separate ourselves from that term, we are not Christians. That would imply that we believe that preacher down at the local Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Lutheran church. No, we don't. Those people are prostitutes. Why would we associate with them? I think it's time to make the schism between true believers and those false church believers out there, make that line of demarcation much plainer than it's been. It's time to separate. I know that's what's in my heart. I want nothing to do with them. I have preached, I have screamed from the rooftops for well over two decades. Actually, over three decades, now that I think about it. And I don't believe they care. Or much as Charles found out when he tried to address that gathering of prestigious individuals in that community, and they had nothing but terms of derision and contempt for him. Charles has a heart of gold. I've interviewed him several times on the program here, so you know who I'm talking about. That is a man who's been he's been down through the dark valley. And he knows what it's like when Yahweh lifts you up and when he walks with you through the valley of death. He knows that. He's been there. He's felt it. And when he tries to share that truth, what do these Cretans do? They boo. They jeer. Call him names. Basically tell him to get the hell away from them. They don't care about the truth. The truth is the last thing on this earth that they're concerned about. Now, as far as I'm concerned, we need to separate ourselves from those that are about ready to get torched. Okay? Father said that the next judgment would be by fire. Well, fire in Scripture could be literal. It could be fire. However, I don't believe it is. I think it's going to be judgment, because judgment is referred to as fire as well. We need to separate ourselves from that. I don't want to go down with those people. I have nothing in common with those people, except that we walk this eretz, this earth together. We breathe the same air, drink the same water. But other than that, we have nothing in common. The pagans share that. Even the contemptible communist Bolshevik Zionist Jews have those things in common. But beyond that, there is nothing we share with those people. Nothing at all. One of my recommendations would be to tune out Babylon. Lately, I've turned off, it's been months ago. What little TV I did watch, I stopped. It's unplugged. And be honest with you, I haven't missed it a single night. I have much more time now to have conversations, to read, to study, to listen to interviews on the internet, to check out things, and to pray. And it's also amazing how much less stress there is if you're not listening and watching the degradation that's on the boob tube and in the movies and the talking heads on the major networks. Tune out Babylon. You don't have to watch television. It's a habit. And like any other bad habit, you can create new habits to take the place of the bad habits and reap the blessing that comes from that. Tune out Babylon. Tune out the what do they call them, the shock jocks and the different ones that are on radio. They're mostly mindless morons. Most of the people that I've heard on the radio, they're pretty mindless. They're the drivel that they think is funny, and they promote all kinds of dementia. It's just sickening. Allow the Christians to enjoy that. Okay? Allow the Christians to enjoy the massive non-white immigration, as it does to us in America what it's been doing to our brothers and sisters in Europe. By the way, Europe means white face, Caucasian, the land of the Caucasians. Okay? Allow them that privilege. They want the world. They don't want it, the truth. So let them have it. Stand back and let them have it, because it's coming. And if they are so pompous, if they are so ludicrous, that they will deny the Christ and the truth that he taught, if they will deny your efforts to save them, then knock the dust of that town or that person's yard off of your shoes and move on. We don't have time to be wasting with the people that love the world, who love the lies, who love the television, who love the government officials that have become little g gods to them, and who love the Jews. They just think they're God's chosen people. It's unbelievable to me that anybody that has studied anything about world history would ever believe that line of BS. They're God's chosen people. There is nothing about the Jewish people that matches what Scripture says of his chosen people. Nothing about them. And yet these Christians believe that they are. So much so that they will allow these antichrists to convince them that you and I are the problem. Let them go. I don't plan on praying for them. I'm sure as heck not going to help to defend them. So when the dark races decide to do here what they've done in Europe, then these people are going to go by the wayside. They're the walking dead. Just look at them as if they're the walking dead. They're the people that Christ referred to, that when you take up my cross, when you take up my message, when you take up my efforts, my kingdom, you don't look back. As he said, let the dead bury the dead. Because spiritually speaking, they are dead. Whether they're related to you by blood, whether they're friends of yours, you may have known them since childhood, whether you work with them, it does not matter. They are the walking dead, spiritually speaking. Soon, it will be literally speaking. And you and I don't have what it takes to try to bring these people along. We don't. They outnumber us, for one thing. We have enough to keep our real enemies at bay, let alone trying to keep our racial brethren who decided long ago that they don't want to be saved. When the scripture talks about salvation, it's not talking about that the fake church, the Christian concept of hereafter. Your soul is saved. You know that garbage that they talk about? Let's go out and save souls. Really? You're going to save soul. How are you going to do that when that's Yahweh's domain? That's because we don't study ancient languages anymore. That's one reason why Pastor Steve and Eli on the program Word for Word is a good thing. We need more studies in the ancient languages because English is a terrible language when it comes to proper interpretation. In this case, the word salvation. Salvation, when the Greeks used it, soter was the infinitive, to save. It had nothing to do with what the church teaches today. It had to do with salvation from physical harm here on earth, right here in Eretz, the earth, here and now, against enemies. This so-called Christian religion teaches that everybody's my brother and sister. They're setting the sheep up for the slaughter. Go ask the people in Europe how nice it is that they accepted the Christian church's teaching over there, welcoming the refugees, welcoming the non-whites. Oh, yes, come in, you huddled and weary, you masses. Oh, yeah, come on in. Even though in America, for instance, we said that, the Statue of Liberty talks about that, but we had a cap, as Frosty Wooldridge said on my radio show many times, there was a cap at 187,000. Now, that's back when America had common sense. We had a common sense immigration policy. We let in Europeans only. And we capped it at 187,000 Europeans up until the 1960s. You know, when we were becoming the greatest nation, we sure as hell aren't now. I asked Frosty on the radio, why did we cap it at 187,000? Because that's how many white Americans left the United States every year. So our immigration policy was set up so that immigration never affected the base loading of the country, our roads, our schools, our jobs. And then in the 1960s, the Jew Khazar, Bolshevik Jew Jacob Javits and his comrades, his fellow communist comrades, basically dismantled our immigration policy and opened the floodgates. Do you think Jacob Javits, the Jew, and his Jew cohorts knew what was going to happen when you opened the floodgate? Sure they knew. So where were our preachers when that happened? Well, they pretty much were in the same place that they have been when abortion was approved in 1974. They're in the same place, keeping their damn mouths shut, too afraid to offend, too afraid to get involved, because by then they were already becoming 501c3 corporations, which means the IRS dictates what you can and cannot say. The love of money is the root of all evil. What do we do? Get out of Babylon as much as you can. And one way to get out of Babylon is stop allowing Babylon into your head. Tune it out. I don't even watch things like the weather. I sure as hell wouldn't watch the news. It's not news. It's propaganda. I don't even watch the drivel that they work into giving a weather report. They can't even do that without overcoming the temptation to insert propaganda. So I don't even watch that. Tune out Babylon and tune out the fear porn that Babylon creates. Remember, you walk with Father Yahweh on a daily basis. As King David, when he stood before Goliath, did he have anybody helping him? Where were all the brave men of the Israelites? Where were those brave Israelite warriors, the white warriors? Where were they when King David just said he challenged the giant Goliath to combat? They were a safe distance up on the hill. Do you notice that about our people? You know, I had a discussion with a gentleman today that's trying to get me to bring about a community for us to go to. And I said, well, when Yahweh determines it, it'll happen, with or without me. I would love to be part of a community somewhere if we could get enough people to be willing to make that happen. So he sort of thought that I should, and he brought up the example of the Red Sea when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. And he was trying to make the analogy that, you know, Moses was the leader and they just sort of followed him out of Egypt. And I reminded him, you need to go back and reread the story. Yeah, Moses preached to those people for a long time and they pretty much just ignored him. They didn't really get too serious about having to leave Egypt until the curses came, did they? Even then, they weren't real sure about what they were going to do, but they had some pretty good inklings that there was an almighty supernatural spirit doing something when all of the firstborn of Egypt died and the death angel passed over the Hebrews, which are the white children of Israel, children of Jacob. But they still moaned and griped and fought amongst each other until finally, they were going to leave, weren't they? They finally agreed that they would leave, and Yahweh allowed them to take the riches and spoils of the Egyptians with them. And the Egyptians were made to be so angry, they wanted them to leave. And then they came up to the Red Sea. And the Israelites still needed a little prodding, so what did the Father do? He said, he told Pharaoh to change his mind and sent his army after them. So the Israelites basically took the chance of crossing the Red Sea because the Pharaoh's army with their war chariots and their spears and arrows were right on their rear ends. You see how our people are? Yahweh's almost got to kick them in the rear end literally to get them to do something. That's why I was absolutely shocked when my cousins in England voted to get out of the EU. I was shocked. I was also shocked when my cousins in Iceland threw their bankers in prison and took control of their money the way God intended us to do. And already their economy and their country is improving, just as England's will improve if they stick to it. But again, they've got a little ways to go. You got to walk with the Father. You got to put it into action, people. Words are cheap, and actions speak louder than words. The scripture tells us, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And it says that Yahweh helps those that help themselves. Our problem is our people love to sit around and bitch and moan, but they really don't want to get involved. And they don't want to have people call them names. They want to be at the first seats in the banquet halls. They want to see their names being praised in the newspapers. You see how despicable our people are at times? And we want to build a community. Well, it takes teamwork. It takes getting off your high horse and leaving your ego at the door, so that you can work together as a team, work together as a family, and build something. And build it on a firm foundation of Yahweh and His law. And stop worshiping these false gods, because they are false. They're no different than the gods made of stone and of metal that the Egyptians and all the other pagans worshipped. Those gods didn't do a damn thing for them, did they? These little G gods threaten that they're going to do things with you. I've heard people say, oh, well, they've got drones, and they've got this, and they got the spy satellites, and they can watch your email. Oh, my God. Let's see. Last time I checked, Yahweh created us. Okay, He created the world. Yeah. He brought the flood that destroyed the people in the days of Noah and then receded the waters. But He had Noah and his family safely in the ark. But today He can't save us from drones and a bunch of bureaucratic morons that have way too much money, way too much time on their hands, way too much technology at their use. But He can't protect us from them. No. Who can war with the beast? That's what I hear in some people's voices when I talk to them. Who can war with the beast? Well, I don't know about you folks, but I like to think I'm warring against the beast as best as I can, being a single individual. I'm doing the best I can to war against them. Pastor Eli's doing a damn good job. Paul English and David James and Laura and all the other folks, Andy, I think they're doing pretty damn good. Again, it's not a fight of bombs and bullets at the moment, but it's a double-edged sword that proceeds from the mouth. Where did we hear that before? Let's see. When Messiah comes. Oh, that's right. I think that's in the book of Revelation. Yeah, there is. There's a verse in there that talks about that. The sword, the word, the pen is mightier than the sword. Have you ever heard of that before, that expression? The pen is mightier than the sword? Well, that was back in the days when you couldn't talk to people across the world like we do today with electronics. It was mostly done through correspondence, letters. The pen is mightier than the sword. Today it would be the word, the truth of our Heavenly Father and His law. That truth is like a double-edged sword to our enemy, because our enemy is trying to get everybody to believe that they're the all-powerful Oz, just like in the movie The Wizard of Oz. The Oz is all-powerful. How can you even think about doing anything against Him, right? Isn't that what it went by that in the movie? Yep. How in the world could you fight against the all-powerful Oz? And then a little dog, not even a person, one of the animal kingdom, went up there and pulled that curtain back and found out that Oz was just a pathetic old man. But he used technology to make him look bigger and stronger and badder than he was. The same thing applies to these damnable communist Bolshevik Jews. They're no different than the ugly little man behind the curtain trying to make you think they're invincible. So what do we do? Well, if you tune out the fear porn, if you tune out all those with ulterior motives and ulterior agendas, if you tune out Babylon, you're a long ways ahead. Maybe then when your brain starts to function properly, you'll be able to figure out the next part. And the next part is probably the most critical part of all. We, the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, known as Jacob's children, the white race, the Caucasian race, we, the descendants of those great ancestors, the people that Yahweh said are my peculiar people above all others. Whatever battle plans we have, whatever plans we have for our communities or our arcs, that we might rise above what's coming, first and foremost, there has to be a provision. There has to be a method to keep the Jew out. Are you listening to me? I don't care how many people are in your group. I don't care what your plan for salvation is. If you do not incorporate a method to detect the Jew and to keep him out of your organization, no matter how big or small, your plan will fail. Benjamin Franklin and George Washington and many of the other founding fathers understood this. That's why Ben Franklin said that there should be a clause in the U.S. Constitution that says the Jew never be allowed in the United States, because they witnessed what the Jews had done to Europe over and over and over again. They understood what John chapter 8 was all about when Christ identified the antichrists, when he described his murderers to the disciples, when he looked at them when they tried to convince him. Imagine that. The King of Kings trying to convince him that they were children of Abraham and equal to the Israelites. And he denounced them. He condemned them. And yet you've got prostitutes in your Christian churches who tell you Christ was a Jewish carpenter. There's the first sign you should run from that church. If they refer to the Christ as a Jew or a Jewish carpenter, run from that church, because they're calling Christ a devil. They're equating Christ with the very people that all of the prophets, all of the disciples, and Christ himself condemned. Not a single good word in Scripture about these people. And yet the modern day Laodicean Christian church falls all over worshiping Satan's kids. Let them go. We don't need them. Yahweh says they stand condemned already. Let them go. They've had plenty of warnings. They've had plenty of time to repent. Repentance, by the way, means change the way you think. They prefer what they're doing. They prefer the way they think. They would much rather follow the televangelists, the other liars and perverts and prostitutes, the mega church, the leaders of the mega churches, the leaders of the so-called mainstream denominations, the very thing Christ condemned, organized religion. He called it the tradition of the elders. And look at churches today. It's all by tradition. If you tried to tell them that Christ wasn't a Jew, what's the first thing they'll do? They'll do exactly what I did to the guy, my friend Larry from Tennessee, when he told me many years ago that Christ was not a Jew. Yeah, I know how they'll react because I reacted to him the same way. I said, you're crazy. If we hadn't been friends for a very long time, I probably wouldn't have talked to him ever again. But he persisted. He persisted. Praise Yahweh, he persisted. So the second time that he told me that, I really got angry with him, called him a few names, told him he should go read his Bible. See, I know how they'll react, but here's the difference. You see, the Holy Spirit deals with the children of Yahweh. And the Holy Spirit dealt with me. He did not let me rest with that. He reminded me that this man had known me for a long time and had been a very, very good friend. Why would he lie to me? Or as the Holy Spirit would say it, why would he lie to you, Daniel? And that's the first time I went to the Christian bookstore and I asked about a concordance. All those years of growing up in a Methodist church, Baptist churches, Lutheran churches, Assembly of God, not once did anybody ever refer to a concordance or even talk about one. All of that organized church, not once did somebody mention a book that allowed me to look up the words in the original languages. And so I bought my first concordance, and it was only like $15. I could not believe the information in that book, and it was a mere $15. I was like a kid in a candy store. I took that thing, and I ran home, and I started studying the verses that talked about Christ being a Jew. It wasn't very many days after I purchased that book that I went back to my friend and I apologized. That's the difference, people. And I'm not saying that to set myself above anybody. I'm saying it because I walked it. I lived it. I felt and went through the difference. Today's Laodicean Christian doesn't even want to hear about a concordance. They don't care that the original scriptures were written in something other than German or English or French or Spanish. They don't care. They're not interested. And personally, I think the Father has abandoned them. I don't think they have the benefit of a Holy Spirit nudging them, condemning them for their ignorance and their haughty attitude. Whereas the Holy Spirit didn't let me get away with it. Yahweh says that there are some out there who get condemned already. Who are we to argue with him? If he's taken two-thirds of our people and decided they're not fit, who are we to argue with him? Why don't we start making plans for the future for the one-third that are fit, that are going to go into the kingdom, that we should be working with, that we should be fellowshipping with, that we should turn our cheek when we are offended? We should forgive 70 times 7. You know, our people have forgotten all about that. even those that are in the kingdom, those who have been saved, so to speak, those who show the signs of conversion to Father Yahweh, they still have a really hard time with the turning of the cheek. They have a hard time letting go trespasses. It's almost like they take pride in keeping the offenses before them. They sort of take pride in the fact that they well up with anger and resentment instead of throwing that trespass into the sea of forgetfulness, the same way Yahshua through our transgressions. You see, we like it when Father does not condemn us to death. We like it when he says, I'm going to take all of your misgivings, and trust me, if you're like me, that was a ton of them. And I'm going to throw them into the sea of forgetfulness because you have come to me and you have been washed in the blood of the Christ. You see, we like it when it's done for us, but we really have a pretty tough time doing it for other people, don't we? You see, I, for years now, have seen where we're coming into, the stage that we're coming into. Judgment is here, folks. You're going to see it. Now, in Yahweh's time, it may take a decade. I don't know. It may only take 10 days. I don't know. But the point of it is, it happens in his time, not ours. I was expecting Yahweh to bring judgment upon this earth back in 1999. When Y2K was the big thing, I thought that would be a perfect opportunity for Father to crush the wicked. So you see, I was thinking in human terms, forgetting that Father doesn't wait upon us. Father doesn't do things in our time. He has his own schedule. But I do know we're getting close. Close enough that I need to tell you to stop. Stop your infighting. Stop your bickering. Stop with the egotism already. I've had a saying in many of the congregations that I've been to, and we all sit around and we talk and all, about the day of judgment and the day when the wicked and the children of light will do battle with each other. There are some salt of the earth individuals I've met that will be welcome in my foxhole anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances. But there are some of the people that in this identity message I wouldn't let in my foxhole ever. Because there's not enough room in my foxhole for me and their egos. Bless their hearts, I hope and pray for them. They may know the message. They may be able to speak to large crowds. They may even get some of these hard-headed Israelites to actually entertain the idea that the identity message is correct. We know it's correct. But some of them have egos that are so gigantic, it's hard to get around them. I worked in a profession my whole career that if you made a mistake, it could easily kill you. Electricity. High voltage electricity. And when I would go to the field to work, when I was a journeyman, I often would have to lead tests and things on the equipment that would require five or six of our people out of the shop. And the thing that I feared the most was the guy that told me he knew everything. The guy that didn't need anybody telling him anything to do. The guy that knew all about test equipment, all about electricity, all about reactors. He is the one that I feared the most. It's no different when it comes to this message. I fear the guy that thinks he knows it all. I'm looking to build a team, a family. I want people who want to be part of a family. And everything that that entails, which means we each have a position in the hierarchy according to Yahweh's law. We each love each other and the family as a whole. We do what we do for the family. And we learn how to forgive each other to keep the family together. We are a long, long way from living according to Yahweh's laws. We're a long way from it, especially here in the United States. Even in the circles of people who know the identity message, there's many of them that are a long, long way. You haven't got it yet, folks, I'm telling you. You got to get past self. You got to start thinking about the greater good of the greater whole of our family. It's not about you or me. It's not about self. What did Christ say about the man that would lay down his life for his friends? Lay down his life for his friends, let alone be willing to take a slight trespass or a slight grievance. Our people won't even do that. We can't even forgive each other for those sorts of things. And yet he praised the man who would lay down his life for his friends, let alone his family. This life that Father gives us, it's a gift. It's a gift from Father to us. We had nothing to do with it. None of us. There's nothing we did. And yet we're here. Life is a gift from Father. What you do with your life is your gift back to Him. What are you going to present to Him when you stand in front of Him? What did you do with this gift of life? It won't be me standing there condemning you. It won't be any of your brothers or sisters. You will stand in front of Father all by yourself. You will testify to the one who already knows everything about you. Let me know how that works out for you. Let me know how that ego that is insurmountable, how that worked out for you when you stand in front of Him. When He asks, why didn't you do anything about the conditions of this earth? Why didn't you do anything to stop the wicked? Because we're too busy belittling and backstabbing each other. That's why. If we would put the energy that we use in criticizing each other, into fighting the enemy, they'd be gone tomorrow. But the enemy knows that. Satan's kids are well aware of that fact. When we come together in His name, under His authority, of one mind, we are an army that is invincible. Satan's kids learned a long time ago the tricks to get our men's heads turned in the wrong direction, to get our ladies' ire up so that we fight each other. No unity, no commonality, no singleness of thought and purpose. You know, I have a picture on my refrigerator that I found on the internet one day. It was sent to me, and I think it speaks exactly to what we're talking about right now. It's a pride of lions on the march. There's two or three males, and there's about 8 or 9 or 10 lionesses, and they're all marching in the same direction with a look on their face. And it says, surround yourself with those on the same mission as you. That's pretty much says what my goal is. I'm out to surround myself with those who are on the same mission as I am. And what is my mission? My mission is to preach the truth and to destroy the wicked. That's my mission. To love my family and bring it back together as a family. And from that family have a army of righteous men who share my vision of destroying the wicked. Not compromising with them. Not exposing them. Destroying them. My ancestors failed in that years ago. Many times the kings of Jacob Israel were told to destroy the wicked. But the love of money, the love of power got to them. And they allowed some of them to live on. And so the disease was never evacuated from this Eretz, this earth. And so it plagues us to this day. As the scripture says, they are a thorn in our sides, our enemies. They are masters of deception, but to those with the discernment that comes from on high, they are easily found out. We now have tests that can be done on them, and we will come up with even more sophisticated ways when we go to separate these terrors from amongst us. Surround yourself with those on the same mission as you are. Hallelujah for that. What do we do? One of the other things that we can do is to show our love and care for one another by praying for each other. It says in Scripture that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So I would behoove you, men especially, to be as righteous as you can be. And why is that? Because there's power in that. When you determine to be that righteous man, to be the man that Yahweh expects you to be, you have power in many different ways, but in specifically this one, in that your prayers will avail much. Do you love your family? Do you love your country? Do you love righteousness? Do you want to see the innocent protected from the ravages that are happening to our people in so many countries today? Treason governs over the white nations, with one exception possibly in Iceland. Treason governs. It governs in the churches, the hierarchy of the churches, the halls of government, and even in the halls of the military brass. Treason. So if you care about your family, men, because it is your job, you know, we men were put in charge of protecting those that we love. You better be a righteous individual. You better have faith that can move mountains. And you better pray. Keep your family covered with your prayers to the Almighty. We're not in this fight alone, people. If we were to fight this alone, we would be crushed. We're too few in number. But praise Yahweh, we don't fight it alone. Be on the lookout for the arks, because I'm not sure what form the ark is going to take. I have ideas, but I don't know. I don't know anybody that does know. All I know is he said that the end of the age would be as it was in the days of Noah. And take a look around you at the perversion, at the antics that our people are involved in, the absolute lewd and provocative nature of the average white person. Pretty despicable. As it was in the days of Noah. And so a small remnant, in Noah's days, it was he and his family. That's it, out of that whole community. However big it was, we don't know. But it was a community. It was an area. So I'd imagine it was quite a few people. And yet, only 8 people were found to be righteous enough that Yahweh saved them. So praise Yahweh for Noah and his righteousness, fellas? Yahweh provided an ark for him and his family, and so he will for us and our families today. Faith is counted as righteousness, boys and girls. Do you have faith? Do you even really believe there is a Heavenly Father? Sometimes I think most of you don't, because your behavior doesn't show it. Yahweh said that he found that those who would cause division amongst the brotherhood to be an abomination. Think about that hard. One of the 7 things that he abhors is anyone who would cause division. In other words, that would break up the unity of our brotherhood. Another thing you can be working on, ladies and gentlemen, is the KISS method. Keep it simple, silly. Some people say keep it simple, stupid, but I like keep it simple, silly. Downsize. Simplify your life. We have way too many electronic and monetary entanglements. Start cutting them loose, and you will feel the freedom. You will feel the reduction in stress in your life, and things will get better. So downsize. Downsize the number of people in your close contacts. You know what I'm talking about. There's a whole lot of people that you probably associate with that perhaps you shouldn't. They may be part of the zombies, the walking dead, the spiritually dead, the ones that won't be around much longer, the ones who will suffer. There is no reason for Yahweh to take the remnant and put them through fire. Not if you're already purified. Not if you are already on board. Now, if you've got some things that you shouldn't be doing, or if you've got some flaws in your character, then you're still going to have some judgment. There's still going to be some fire applied to you until the silver is cleaned. You are his silver. You are his precious metal. And he will apply the fire to burn away those items within you that he does not like. The good news is he only does that to people he loves. And the reason he does that is to make you a better man or woman for the purposes he has in store for you. Hallelujah for that. You know, as we see all this stuff going on, so many people are absolutely distressed and downhearted about it. But folks, this is what he told us was going to happen. This isn't a mystery. Go read the book. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a good place to start. He describes what people would be like. This is no mystery. This is no surprise to those of us that have read the book. I find it hard to believe people are that stupid, but they are. To war against the King of Kings? Why would you do that? When century upon century it's been proven that if you lead a righteous life, your life here on this earth is blessed. The blessings that come from righteous behavior and righteous living are here and now. Not in just the hereafter, they're here and now. Why would you walk away from that? Why would you allow Satan's kids to deceive you? Or is it that you love money? You love power and prestige and glory. Your ego needs to be fed. Is that possibly in the way? I know it is for some of you. We're getting down to where the rubber meets the road, folks. We're getting down to where talk is cheap. Your faith will be tested. He's promised that he would walk with us, as in Psalm 91. Makes it very, very clear. He will not forsake us. We may forsake him, but he will not forsake us. And I was going to mention earlier when we talked about the perilous times that we're in and the things that we do and whether we trust Father Yahweh. And again, when I tell or testify to these things that happened in my own life, I'm not doing that to try to be condescending to anybody. I'm the last person on earth that would do that to you. I only do it because of what I have seen him do in my life so that I can share it with you so that you also could share it. And the case in point that I want to bring out is that this radio station and the way it came into being and the way I was prepared for it was 17 years ago. It was a miracle, actually. It was a miracle that it ever even came into being. And what it has done for both me and for many, many listeners over those years. Praise Yahweh. But right after I started the radio program, I'd had relatives and friends that told me to be very careful because they were afraid for me. I said, well, why are you afraid? Am I not telling the truth? Well, no, you're telling the truth, but those Jews and those lapdogs that love the Jews are powerful people. True, they are, but so is my father. And so are the angels of heaven, the angelos of heaven. So what are you saying? Stop doing the radio program? Well, you know, you just should be careful. Okay. Okay. Well, that was 17 years ago. And by the grace of God, we're still here talking to you tonight. Now, that doesn't mean that a week from today, that something could happen, or a month, or a year, or 10 years, whatever. I'm not saying that in advance. I don't test Father Yahweh, ever. But what I'm saying is, had I listened to them, had I given in to the fear of what might happen, none of the good that has been accomplished by this radio program would have ever happened. That's all I'm saying. Don't be led by fear. Nothing in Scripture says that that is a good thing, ever. Be led by the Holy Spirit and desire to do right. a desire to lift our people up out of the mire that they have got themselves into, to bring us back together as a family. And I might add, as we're getting ready to close out the program, everything is upside down today. Good is called evil. Evil is called good. And I want to remind the men and women out there, we're not living. Our families are not put together the way Father said. And we are being cursed for that. And my prayer is for Yahweh's true men of valor, the warrior kings of old, resurrect that spirit in our men today. That picture I have, that mental picture of the men of Jacob, the Israelites, the Caucasian Israelite men in their armor of mail with their shields and their sharp swords, ready to do battle with the wicked, ready to defend their women and children against the wicked. Resurrect those kind of men, Father Yahweh, for the times that we are entering and beyond. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for lifting up those who are downtrodden, those who struggle with health issues, and those who want to fight the wicked, Father. Bring about the spirit of righteous indignation. Bring about the warrior spirit, Father. Tamed by the Holy Spirit, but ready to strike when needed. Forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh. Guide us in all that we say and do, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.